This is the playbook.
Need one more beer though.
Yes,
is that like not, I don't want to be like I'm not that guy that's like I need this
out
on
there. What if we put two out there?
What is it? No, not a shotgun, but I'll have two.
Put two beers up there.
Two beers up there. I'm not like I'm gonna hide the label or anything or
no,
how that works.
No, we're fine.
They used to on the old podcast. They used to freak out about all the labels and shit. I was like, all right.
Yes, I'm super lucky because I own everything.
Yeah, there you go. It's smart. I learned the hard way recently.
Yeah, amazing. Probably not as good as Bob, but I'm good.
This is I would have canceled immediately if for anybody else.
That's
if
so.
If it
cool.
wasn't you, I would have been. There's no fucking shot. I would have been here. I would have made up an excuse. I would have used COVID for the 50th time this year. I've used COVID was so fucking
the
convenient.
Best excuse ever.
Oh my god! I literally like, oh Bob, you have COVID again. I'm like, yeah. Dude, I actually have a picture saved on my phone that's a COVID positive test.
All right, hope you're recording this deal. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
All right. I fucking blasted out there.
Oh, my God. You talk about looking back at yourself, and I know he's dressed all in black, but he is literally a shadow of my former self, and yet it's so much fun for me to meet people like Bob Menery because he has one of my favorite podcasts, but more importantly than the podcast.
Did have one of your favorite podcasts, bro.
Rigor Magoo, the old
yeah,
podcast.
We're bringing that back. Yeah, yeah.
You bring it back. Yeah. But more importantly, what I love about him is he is who he is. And what I try to teach people is something that it took me years to learn. And it's to be myself and F the rest. I'd rather people hate me for who I am than love me for who I'm not. And every time I've seen you over the years, you're who you are and you illuminate who you are, which I think liberates people like me to illuminate who I am. But my favorite thing about meeting guys like you, being the shadow of me, is that all you know of me is Dorky Dave, right? Oh, yeah, you know, he's that guy.
Don't put words in my mouth. I think higher of you.
Thank you.
I think a lot higher of you.
Well, tell me, by the way, because I'm always interested, because I have met some super cool people like Mike Studd, who goes by Just Mike or whatever Mike does.
Yeah, yeah.
When we got to know each other, and we're really close friends now, he goes, dude, you're a lot cooler than I thought.
Yeah.
We're drinking Jaeger on his show.
Yeah, I thought you were going to be a fucking dork when I walked in here. And I was like, this guy's a fucking loser. And then now I meet you, like, you're the man.
Nice.
I'm joking, by the way. Totally joking.
No, what did you think? Because I love people's perspective of someone like me who has experienced or sometimes still does
what do
your
I think?
Lifestyle.
What is my perspective of you from
my
the
lifestyle.
Internet? Your lifestyle. So yeah. I follow you. I don't actively follow you, but I see, because your team does such a fucking good job at it, is you guys are everywhere.
Right.
So, and when you do have a video that I come across, I don't click away from it. I listen to it. And so I always take the advice that you have at times and I listen to it. And if I don't agree with it, I'll say fuck off and close it. And then for the most part, I'll try and learn from some of the stuff that you say. You put out a really good message, which is awesome. There's not a lot of people that do that. And so it's cool to see you because you're like, you don't stop.
Right.
Which is amazing.
I love it.
You and Gary Vee are like two fucking psychopaths that just don't fucking stop at all.
That's why we get along so well.
Yeah.
You know, for you, I love your content because you're real, but you also call people out on their bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys that you call out on the bullshit are friends of mine.
Oh, boy.
But I want to call bullshit on them as well. But because I'm a friend, I can. But when someone crosses the line, you're like a superhero defending, you know, the people that you think need to be defending. And you probably know, like, recently what I'm talking about.
Cardone?
Yeah.
Yeah, Grant. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I had a couple cocktails, and he just, like, said one fucking thing that I just didn't like, and then I just do what I do. I create comedic content around something that somebody said that was really fucking dumb. And for the guy to say that if you make under $400K a year, I'd be embarrassed or whatever, whether he's giving a speech to fucking his employees or whatever, you know, just fucking say, hey, I'm a fucking idiot. I didn't mean to fucking say that. I said it in this, but he didn't do that. He doubled down and made some dumbass fucking video in his post next time. It was like trying to defend his action, his words. And I was just like, I said some things. I called his Twitter space and told him to fuck off and told him to S my D, which is not a nice thing to say. My mother raised me better than that, but I was in the heat of the moment. I have no problem with Grant Cardone. It was
just
that one fucking thing he said.
Right.
I don't know anything about that guy. I have no idea who he is. And I don't have a lot of people that I go after. Like you're saying, like, I don't like attack a lot of people on the internet. I've got, you know, I attacked a couple people recently because I got fucked over in a couple things. Going back to like owning your own shit, how important that is. And I learned that the hard way. And I relied on somebody's word that I thought was good and it wasn't. So, because I'm old school. I like handshake deals, but they don't exist, I guess, in this world.
I believe in memorializations, not contracts as well. And I'm a lawyer, right? And I've lost over $100 million. I think it's a much better, if I can encourage you with some advice, is when you lose something, when it's manipulated, stolen from you, it's the same as giving, except for you learn a bigger lesson in order to effectuate the intention in what you've made already or what you're doing already. So let that sink in when you sober
this
up.
This is so fucking weird. I'm watching a fucking internet video right now. Yeah. I'm watching it in real life. This is the strangest thing I've ever taken. Wait, this is fucking weird.
When I talk like that, I can see.
And I feel motivated.
Exactly. What the fuck is Dave Meltzer talking? Even my own kids, who you probably met my daughter who works for me now, she's the queen of saying, "Dad, you know nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about. You gotta slow down and explain your shit." Because, you know, for example, I love to tell people that time is the dependent variable of all matter, subjective and objective matter.
Okay.
And my daughter's like,
"Yeah, no, I'm doing the same thing right now." Exactly. Yeah. I'm on fucking 30 minutes sleep here in Las Vegas trying to figure out what you're saying, but I'm gonna make the best of it. You know? Do you listen to her when she says that? She gives you advice?
I do. Then I slow down, and then I ask her to explain what she thinks it means, and then it makes me capable of saying, "Oh, I see. I have to use, you know, different words of how this all fits together." So I would say something like, let's take guilt, for example. Mm-hmm. Most people wouldn't be able to know if they're progressing and not feeling guilty as much. So you identify at a young age, why do I fucking feel guilty? My mom makes me feel so guilty every time she calls me. And all I want to do is like get her approval and love. And all I do is feel guilty that I'm not good enough for her. This might be a common problem for a lot of young people. Mm-hmm. And so to progress in that, you can use time and say, last time I talked to my mom, the amount of time I spent in guilt was less. Mm-hmm. And if we work under the construct of utilizing time as that variable that determines whether I'm getting better at not getting in my own fucking way, not being anxious and depressed all the time or worrying about what my mom thinks and just appreciating that she cares so much about me, she's giving me bad advice, you know, it's good.
What do you do when somebody gives you like the really shitty advice and you know it's not right? Do you like play along and say like, oh, you know, and like pretend like, oh yeah, I'll change that, or do you confront them and tell them like, I think you're fucking wrong?
That's so good, because you would probably say you're fucking wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What my personality is, hey, thank you for caring so much about me to give me that advice.
I say the exact same thing.
And then I say, because advice is a handful of sand for me. Most of it, right? Let me give it another way too. I just let it fall through my fingers and say, thank you that you care enough about me. But one of the greatest lessons of advice that I've learned.
You really do that when you're communicating with somebody just out on the street, you say, thank you for caring?
Yeah.
Like that? Oh, yeah. Wow. You're deep.
Well, you know what? Forgiveness in this side, I wasted so much energy trying to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, for example, ignorant, arrogant people. There's only two types of people. People that don't know what they don't know and people that don't know what they don't know. There's people that are humble about it that say, like you, I see great humility in the fact that you're like, this is fucking what I think, right? But I don't know what I don't know. This is just my opinion.
Yeah, I just don't
care
anymore.
Or I'm just having fun, or I'm literally trying to create humor and lightness in your life by making fun of golf or football or Grant Cardone. But I love those people and I love the sport, or I love the guy that's putting, but this is funny shit and I can make people laugh and think about things differently and improve themselves in their lives. That's what I see in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just a shtick. You know, that's the stuff that got me going.
And Howard Stern was the same way, right?
Yeah.
And so if you look at ignorant people, there's ignorant, humble people that are like you that say, look, dude, I don't know what I don't know. I'm just fucking having fun. You know, this is my stick. And then there's people like our parents who love us so much and are so afraid of something happened to us, more than we're afraid for ourselves, that they go ahead out of fear and give us really shitty advice and pretend like they know something. You should go to college. You should stop drinking. You should stop doing drugs. You should stop doing... You don't fucking know.
Right?
You're not omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I just humbly say, like, dude, at least this guy cares enough to like tell me I made, like, if I said something wrong, even out of context, and you busted my balls,
right?
And be like, Dave, what the fuck are you talking about? People under 400, your mom's a teacher. You're fucking your mom. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you say something that stupid?
Yeah. Do you agree his statement was stupid?
Stupid.
Yeah.
I say stupid shit all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And if you call, please call me out on it, because I would love the attention.
What is something that you got called out for in your life that you regret?
The Black Matters thing.
Okay.
Right. I said all lives matter. And I didn't understand why that would offend someone. Right. And what a person called me.
You got in trouble for saying all lives matter?
Yeah. And most people, and I got shit on, and then everybody piled on like, why aren't you standing up, Dave Meltzer? You're supposed to be a leader. People listen to you. Why aren't you standing up? Warren Moon, Jackie Robinson, Clemente, all the things.
Oh, yeah, I get that shit all the time.
Right. So,
yeah.
So I'm like, okay, explain to me. And I give my cell phone out to every hater. It's the funniest thing. My real cell phone.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
But they're such pussies, they don't fucking call me, ever.
That's you know what you got to do, though, if they do, because I had come across that problem a lot, too. I'll accidentally, you know, I'll get my cell phone when I go out. But you learn the hard way, because a lot of people that follow me are like fucking 12-year-old punk trolls. So, you know, one person gets your number, they have Bob's number, and then they'll pass it on to somebody else. So anytime I give somebody a number, I just say, hey, look at it. I look them in the eye and say, this is called respect. You fucking don't abuse it. You don't fucking prank me. That's it. And then if they do prank me, what I do is I just take their number, I blast on the internet, and I say, call the Bob and Peter hotline, and I shut down their phone if they fuck with me. And I say, I'm taking your calls all day long for 24 hours fucking straight. Call me. And they're fucking locked out and they're dead. And I said, you're welcome. There you go.
You're welcome.
There you go. See, don't fuck with me.
Everyone has a way to deal with it, right?
Yeah.
But I think more people are afraid to actually. So this lady said to me, I'm not saying that all lives don't matter. I'm saying at this time, a leader like you who portrays themselves to care about uniting everyone should prioritize Black lives right
now.
Yeah,
there's just way too much fucking thinking going on.
Yeah.
It's just like, it drives me fucking crazy. Like, I mean, it's like everybody, I fucking love everybody. I don't get it.
There you
like,
go.
I love everybody. I don't have a racist bone in my body. I don't fucking like it. There's nothing. I can speak for myself. I fucking love everybody.
Okay, quick question.
Yeah.
I find your stuff amazing in entertainment value and also insight. Like, and I believe that everything comes through us, right? And a lot of people try to force being funny or force being clever or creative. Mm-hmm. You know, guys like you and I believe like this shit just comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've moved away from what I would like to do, which is be completely, you know, fun and humorous about it. But now I'm an old man and I try to really change the world. But whatever. But there's shit that comes through my mind. I'll look over at Colleen real quick.
Yes.
She
is and Colleen is, I'm sorry, Colleen is your
president
of the company. Okay.
So I say shit like you do.
Got it.
But mostly not in public.
Okay.
And my daughter and Colleen are like, Dave.
Right. So is Colleen sweating that I'm in here at all?
No.
Everything's going to be good.
She's
don't
a
worry.
Huge fan.
All right,
but
good.
If I said it, she's probably sweating that I'm talking to you because you're going to bring that side out of, of
no,
me.
No, we're good. I'm in a relaxed, nice, calm mood.
Does it come naturally? Like, you don't have to prepare this shit. Like, you look at
you got to look at it this way. The way I built my shit is this. From the first person that followed me to whatever I have now is I had a really unique voice. And I used to go out in public and just talk and Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers here at ESPN and do my voice and do that fucking weird thing that I could do. And I'm always able to do it. I used to go up and make people laugh and fucking do it. So then I just took it to the internet and started voicing over these clips and trying to do these fucking funny voiceovers. And it's pretty simple. I've used the same fucking app that I've used since the day I started. It's called Splice. It's a free app. And I talk into my cell phone. I do one or two little takes. And I just say dumb shit in a funny voice. And it just took off in a sense of just people. I mean, I've been doing it for fucking like 6 years now. It's getting old. I got to figure out something fucking else to do. But, I mean, it's just still, it reaches a lot of people, and it's pretty crazy to think that I actually, it takes me a minute and a half a day to reach millions and millions of people, which is crazy. Yeah, and then the rest of the stuff, I love, you know, everybody's like, oh, Bob, why don't you do vlogs? You have a great vlog. And I'm like, dude, I would rather fucking blow my brains out than have a fucking camera following me around like, hey, what do you eat for fucking breakfast? Like, you know, I shoot, people think like I document my whole life and all that on my fucking shit. I'm quick. I do one takes. Like, I don't give a fuck if you're doing something. I'll put it out there. I don't care. I'll just do it. It's my Instagram story. It's my little, like, fun thing that I enjoy. It's like my little movie. I love it more than anything. But when I was with the fucking Nelk Boys, you know, I would open up a fucking refrigerator and there'd be a camera there, like, just popped out. I'd be like, what is going on? I'm trying to get fucking blueberries out of the fridge. And I go, like, the laundry open up, dude, it's like, fucking a camera shoots out of there. I'm like, dude, I can't fucking do this anymore. So, I you know, obviously the podcast is what I love. I love doing this stuff. I love talking to people. We've had some crazy, 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 incredible interviews. Like, I never would have thought, like, you know, my past from what I was 7 years ago, like, literally dumb as fuck, which sleep in a car, homeless, fucking not like real, almost fucking dead in the back of a car to, you know, sitting down with the president of the United States when Russia invaded Ukraine. You know, that's pretty crazy. Or former.
Yeah.
You know.
It's amazing.
It's pretty cool. So, I've already accomplished everything I wanted to fucking accomplish. There's nothing more that I could care to do.
Just drink yourself to death.
And I'm just going to drink myself to death and stay in Vegas.
Exactly.
And I'm not fucking leaving.
I made that choice. I quit on it. I was the only thing that, you know, I used to tell people nobody likes a quitter when my wife's like, you're going to end up dead. I'm like, nobody likes
a quitter. I don't drink as much. Well, actually, I do.
That's what
I
used to say.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
It's now a fucking intervention.
So what's really interesting to me, because I spent the majority of my career with brands, you know, running Lee Steinberg and building brands.
Yeah, I didn't even know that about you, by the way. Was like there a movie made after you or something?
Of the firm, yeah, Lee Steinberg. Yeah, Jerry Maguire.
All right, cool. I thought you were Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, me too, I wish. Okay. Anyway, what's really cool, though, is, you know, coming into my own brand, I never imagined the size, scope, and scale of the audience,
right,
but also the monetization opportunities to make money, mm-hmm, right? And, you know, someone like you that does these things organically, you're yourself. Number one, are you surprised that you can make a living doing it? Two, do you actually strategize on the business side? Do you take that part seriously of like, how can I build an economic, you know, dynasty for myself?
You know, that doesn't really interest me. I'm not like really that interested in making fucking 100 million, 200 million, building a Portnoy bar stall. I want to just fucking sit down, get paid to just talk and be a talent and just, you know, focus on what I'm good at and not waste my brain and trip out on things that I'm not good at. I don't have like the highest, craziest goals in life. You know, I've like I said, I'm pretty laid back and chill. I just, you know,
I'm gonna keep this clip because I will tell you, Dave Portnoy was one of, I've done 1400 of these, right?
Like, yeah,
you said, I'm a fucking maniac. Mm-hmm. And Portnoy was one of the first ones, six Super Bowls ago, I did an interview with, and he said, Dave,
he's the man.
He goes, if I ever can get $10 million out of this, mm-hmm, I'm gonna retire and play golf every day. Fuck this.
Yeah.
Right, now look at him.
Yeah, no, I made enough money right now. I mean, obviously, you got to keep making money, but I'm happy. I never thought I would be a millionaire. You know, yeah, that's pretty cool. That was a pretty cool thing. Yeah. So that's you know.
Would you rather sit down with the president or be a millionaire?
I've already done both.
Which one do you like better?
Which one do I like better?
Yeah.
I'd rather sit down with the president.
I'm with you.
I don't give a shit about money. I really don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I do only because of what I can do with it. And when I made a lot of it and lost a lot of it, mm-hmm, it was because I didn't give a shit about it. When I realized what I could do with my money, mm-hmm, it totally changed my perspective that, like, fuck, I'm really good at making money. And I could, like, build a village and change, like, thousands of people's lives. Or,
yeah,
like,
children. I just get too much paranoia and I get too much, like, freaked out with, like, when shit gets too big.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like, you know, the bigger shit got, like, when we were doing the fuck, we're sitting down with Snoop Dogg, we're going to fucking, you know, the hood to go see Kodak Black after he just got shot. Like, just, it was so big, you know, what we were doing. It was just like a lot. And so, like, I didn't really have a lot of time to just, like, you know, so that's why I kind of broke off that relationship before.
All right. So relationship, speaking of which, you know, obviously everybody's perspective changes as we get older and older. Do you see yourself married ever?
Yeah. I was supposed to pull the trigger on Christmas. I was going to do it. And then I was going to do it on New Year's, but I just didn't get a ring. And so I actually was sitting on my couch on January 1st, or the night before, what's the New Year's Eve?
31st.
And I was sitting there, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to fucking ask someone to marry me tonight, I think. So I texted my guy, Brett, who's like my right-hand guy, he's always with me. I said, hey, Brett, can you pick up a ring to go? I want to ask someone to marry me tonight. And he's like, yo, that's not how it works, dude. You actually have to, like, the sizes, you got to get the ring fit.
Right.
And I swear to God, I'm not, like, making this up. Like, I was really, that's, and then I realized there's a lot more to this than, you know, just getting a DoorDash. I tried to DoorDash a ring too. I was like going to have somebody.
They don't have that?
No, they don't have that yet.
Oh, damn.
For lazy guys. But yeah, I'm going to do it. I think that she's great for me. Like right now I'm in Vegas. I'm doing an interview with Dave Meltzer. I am fucked up. I fucking didn't sleep last night. I went crazy at the casino and just went ape shit. And that's because my girl's not with me. So a year and a half ago, I met my girl and that's who I was, is this. That doesn't fly when she's there. And that's what's good for me. So she literally probably is saving my life as we speak, because I can't be fucked up. I can't be coming to this shit drunk and shit like that, you know.
And most people know my story is that my wife saved my life without a doubt.
Yeah, right? I think I've heard something like that.
And still, I tell her, I get choked up because I'm a little bit more of a emotional when it comes to it. But like literally looking at you, I just see like an amazing life in front of you. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait till we do this again when I'm 70 and you're 50 or whatever. You're like, dude, I'm Dave Meltzer. When the first time I sat down with him, now I'm like, I have kids and a wife. And
yeah.
But what's, you know, really cool about when you get a different prioritization in your life, which I think you will because you're super intelligent and you care about people, is that you're going to look back and then be able to visit. You're going to visit less often, mm-hmm. but like these guys have seen me visit there at least once a year, mm-hmm. and it's just like so much fun.
Visit what?
This.
Your memories?
This life. Oh, no, I visit it. Okay. Like, you know, pouring Jaeger wine.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm never going to fucking give that up. I love getting hammered. Like, it's so much fun. Obviously, you can't do it so much, right, but like as you get older and stuff, but I enjoy partying. That's like my brand. That's what it is, you know?
It's not my brand.
I can't, like, go to church every day now for the next fucking 2 years. I'll lose everybody. So I'm kind of stuck in this game now, you know, which is unfortunate.
I'm so glad I'm stuck in the good behavior brand.
I want to have you on our show, too. I know that now that, obviously, like I said, when you see somebody face-to-face, but because I want to do, like, shows with, like, people that would not be in the same room together. Like, I want to have round tables with people, like, you know, like, random shit. Like, me, you, and I wanted those two kids that were attacked by a bear. Did you hear that story?
Yeah.
There's two kids that were attacked by a bear that fucking survived. They like, you know, he was getting mauled to death.
And the other kid
just like jumped on the bear's back, like grabbed its fucking ears. And I don't know if that's how it really went, but that's kind of like how they wrote it. And then I asked him, I was like, dude, is this real? Is this like a real story? What happened? He's like, nah, we just like, we're like basically dead and the bear just gave up. So I was like, you can make that story cooler. You know, they just survived the bear attack. Like it was a day after. I'm like, hey guys, can I fly you out to come sit down with me? And I just realized it just got mauled by a bear. So probably bad timing.
Right. As soon as the bandage, it's like asking the
poor. He was literally like bleeding when I was on FaceTime. No lie.
Bob called, what's his name, from the Bills yesterday. Hey, dude, you think I can fly you out? I want to talk about the game.
Yeah, that was crazy, too. That was awful what happened to him, man. Hopefully, he's good now. I think he's breathing.
Yeah, he asked.
And he's doing all that.
Who won the game?
That was scary.
He asked who won the game. If it was my friends in there, they'd be like, dude, you lost it for both teams.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
We've never seen it happen.
I know. It's insane that he's... the good news is, I guess they were doing like CPR in the field for like... Yeah. My buddy was at the game. He's like, dude, we had seats right at the... You know.
My buddy was the referee.
Really?
And he was texting me... When he was on the sideline, he literally texted me, I think he might die.
Oh, man.
And I'm all brain. He goes, heart.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what the heck was going on.
So awful. Yeah. I mean, it's scary sport, dude.
It is a scary
sport. I mean, imagine just dudes are just built like machines coming full speed and just rocking you. Not fun. Not going to do it.
Yeah. Especially as big and fast and as strong
but
as
hopefully
they are.
He's good. I don't think he'll probably ever play football again, but
no.
Hopefully
he'll be okay.
The Bills take care of him.
There you go. And anyway, Bob, this is a start to a great relationship.
I love that.
I appreciate you a lot.
Me too.
You stay loving you, and other people will love you for who you are, because I certainly do. Mm-hmm. And although you're fucked up and although you're fun, dude, you're deep, man.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, this is what it is. You get what you see.
You get what you see here at The Win in the Lobby of The Win with my good friend at Blue Wire Studios, Bob Venery.
You know what's crazy? I could talk for 5 hours with Dave. He does these 17 ADHD sessions, quick and easy. I'm actually curious, though. Is it a business decision? Is it quicker? Is it like for time for you? Why is that?
Yeah, because I do so much in a day, and I have such great relationship capital that if I was like Rogan, right, and do two-hour interviews, because I get big names, right, like Bob Venery, but... I do four of these.
Your show's falling off then, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You got me, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Xero. Yeah. But I've already done, I did a show this morning.
Time management.
Time management.
That's why I don't drive. I don't drive a car. I never have.
And look, everyone that watches Joe, you know they only watch 20 minutes of it at most.
Right.
Right, so I try to get right in there, and it's worked out really well for me.
In and out.
In and out. Kind of like my sex life.
Oh, man. You beat me to it. Not a lot of people beat me to the punchline. And you fucking beat me to that right there. So I'll bother you.
Well, next time, maybe we'll let it last a minute. You heard about the 60-second lover. You got a minute here on Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.
You're the man, Dave. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much for having us.
Go drink. Bye, buddy.